That our mission in the world is to make God known through the way that we live our lives. Did you know that? That God has a purpose and a plan for your work? That work was not a dirty word that your parents always made you do called chores? No, work was designed by God. And today in our series about faith and growing in our relationship with Christ, today we're going to talk more about our work and our life of service. And if you have a Bible with you today, which I hope you do, did anybody bring a Bible with you today? If you have one, would you raise it up? Let me see that you brought, or an iPad or an iPhone or whatever it is you got. I want you to really look in the Word of God this morning at the scriptures that I use. A couple of them I'm just going to reference. You might want to look at a little bit later, but I'll tell you a little bit about them. I'm going to start in Colossians here in just a minute. I'll reference Matthew here in a moment as well. But let me tell you a little bit of a circumstance that I heard about this last week. Do you like practical jokes? I really like sometimes. I like them most of the time. Yeah, as long as they're not on you, that's good too. Hey, let me tell you about a guy who has four names. So if he's got four names, he's really important. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Yeah, that's right. Sir Arthur Conan. If you have four names, you got to be important, right? This guy liked practical jokes. Listen to what he did to some of his coworkers or friends around the country. Now, this was worth the day of email. They didn't have email yet. So I guess it was a telegram that he sent. But listen to what he said. He pulled a practical joke on 12 respected, well-known men that he knew, sent these 12 telegrams, and this is all that the telegram said. Flee at once. All is discovered. That's all he said in the telegram. Now, can you believe somebody would do that or send an email? Well, here's the interesting thing about that, and this is a true story. I looked it up. You can look it up for yourself. In 24 hours, all 12 of those men had left the country. Now, you know, what does that tell you? Does that tell you these guys all had something to hide, right? Did they have a life of integrity? Was their life of work and their personal life honorable and according to God? Well, probably not. Well, that's a great example of the fact that we live in a world today. You and I live in a world today. Our home and our neighborhood, the place that we work, even our personal life, where there always is a challenge and there is an opportunity for us to live a double life or live according to Jesus Christ. And the Wall Street Journal even did an interesting survey with the Gallup organization a couple years ago. They were asking the question about moral and ethical behaviors in the workplace. And these are the three things they talked about, such as calling in sick when you're not sick. Now don't anybody boo me yet here, okay? Calling in sick when you're not sick. Number two, cheating on income taxes. Number three, pilfering or stealing, taking, borrowing, using company supplies for your own personal use. Now, those are the things they put in that survey. Now, those seem to be just kind of gray area kind of things in our culture today, right? Well, the results of that were that seems to be there is no significant difference, no significant change between people who are churched and are a part of a faith organization or people who are not part of a church or a faith organization. It seems to be the same. And this is the statement that this person that was writing this says, churches seem to have little impact on the moral fiber of their people, at least in the workplace. There seems to be this difference between the way we live and the way we profess in this building and on this property and what it's like when we leave this place. Now, what God is wanting to challenge us up about today is to look at those situations in life, and yourself as well as mine. I don't know about you, but when I read a statistic like that and I hear a story like that of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, it makes me think that I'm kind of disappointed in that because of I'm a part of that. And I'm not as much disappointed about the ones in the workplace who don't know Jesus Christ and don't know values and morals and that kind of thing. I'll tell you what I'm a little bit more disappointed in, and that is this. There seems to be a lack of spiritual influence from Christians in those same areas of our workplace. And here's why I say that. You look at national polls, and the polls will tell you that 75% of Americans say they are believers. They are Christians. They follow Christ. 75%. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, then, if those are 75% of us in the workforce are professing Christians, why is there not a greater impact in our culture? Isn't that right? So God is challenging us to really look at our life, and I want you to understand that God's mission for his people has always been this, to change culture through our example and our influence. When God sends us out into the workplace, He does not intend for us just to simply live an incognito or a private, secret Christian life. His plan has always been for the people of the Spirit of God to impact and influence culture. So we have to ask ourselves today the question, and that's why the title of this message today is God at Work. And I would put a little slash there and say school as well, because you may be in school or you may be retired. Wherever God takes you in that 9-to-5 kind of time frame in your life, when you're away from this place, when you're away from Sunday morning, that's what we're talking about today. We have a mission statement. Our mission statement has three words, right? Have you memorized them yet? Don't even look at the wall. Love, grow, and go. Now, you know what? There's a real important question that we have to ask or we say that. I mean, we do want to memorize that. We want to learn about it. We want to understand what it says. But here's the question. Go and do what? Go where? Well, today I want to propose to you that we talk about God's mission in terms of work. And this is the phrase that I read this last week that I really love. And it says this: God's mission is not a destination, it is a journey. God's mission is not a destination, it is a journey. And what that means is God plans on the walk and the journey of our life is not the kind of a thing where we get to the place where we reach some level of spirituality and we relax and we say, we're done, we've made it, we're as good as we're going to get, now I'm ready to kind of sit back and retire. God never says those kinds of things in His Word. As a matter of fact, even the commission, the great commission of Jesus Christ Himself, challenges us in that area. And I want to start there this morning. Now, you don't have to look it up necessarily, but in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, that is a section of Scripture that most all churches would say, this is our commission from Jesus Christ. This is what we're to be about. Matthew 28, 19 says this: therefore, the therefore means Jesus Christ has just said, I have been given the authority by God Himself, because I am the Son of God, to stand on this promise and this commission, and this is what I'm telling you to do as my followers. Go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And one more thing, teaching them to obey. Discipleship. Teaching them to obey everything. Now, I want to just mention briefly two things about that scripture, and this is one. When that word says go, it is not a destination. It is a journey. It means while you are going, as you are going, while you are walking with Christ in your 9-to-5, your Monday through Saturday, everywhere that your life takes you, I want you to be an example of Jesus Christ. Following Jesus Christ is not about a Sunday morning from 8 o'clock to noon approximately at this building in this proximity right here. Following Jesus Christ is out in the world. Now here's the second thing I want you to see in that scripture. The other word that I think we have underlined there is making disciples of who? Of all nations. And that word there is the word that we get ethnic from. It's the Greek word that talks about different groups of people. It means everywhere you go, you are going to come into contact with groups of people, not just around the world in other nations and other countries, but everywhere you go, you're going to run into other people of different generations, of other people groups, and I want you to impact those folks. That's what Jesus Christ is saying through this scripture. As you are going, it's not just a destination. Well, so the question we have to ask is, where will we find these people? Are we going to find all these people that God is challenging us to go and reach and minister to and influence? Are they right here at DFC? Well, the answer is no. It's no. That is not who Jesus Christ is calling us to impact. It is the people outside of this place. And you and I have contact with people outside on a regular basis, you more than I. And I want to give you this proposition this morning. This is what I want you to think about for the next 20 minutes. Today, I want you to consider what God's Word says about how you and I carry out His mission by serving others through your workplace. Now, I don't know if this is a different concept and idea to you, but I want you to think about how you personally, and I personally, carry out the mission of God to go into our world and teach and preach the gospel and influence them for Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider your 9-to-5, your workplace, the place where you go to school, your neighborhood where you live. How is that happening? And what does God say about that? Well, there's 3 points I want to just kind of talk about. Isn't that a good sermon? You're supposed to have 3 points and a conclusion, right? Dr. Bond, I think that's what we learned somewhere or another. Anyway, here's the first point. Our work is holy to God. Our work is holy to God. Well, does God really care about work? I mean, really. There are so many other things that are spiritual that sometimes we think, but God cared about his work. Look what he poured into from himself in Genesis chapter 1 in creation and creating work. It was a good thing that God has asked us to do. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply and advance our world and use our mind and use our skill to make a better place and to serve other people. Well, God does care about that. I read a book from a guy named Oz Hillman, a man that we had in our church in Atlanta. We met him a time or two. And this is something that he says, there's a fallacy in the church, in the Christian church among believers. He says, there is a fallacy. Many people believe that God calls a small number of believers to full-time Christian work, to be ministers. God only calls a small group of people, and that is not true. Here is the truth. The truth is every person that has followed Jesus Christ, accepted him into your life, said, I want to be a disciple, I want to follow Jesus Christ. Every person who has done that is a full-time Christian in full-time Christian work. You are a minister. So if I ask the question, would all of our full-time ministry people stand up in this congregation? Would you stand? Right, it wouldn't just be Cindy, right? It would be everybody. So if I say that at the end of the service and I say, everybody who's going to leave this place in full-time Christian ministry, would you stand? Okay, that's a kind of foreshadowing, right? You are a minister of Jesus Christ, and your work, whether you're a student or you're retired or you are in the workforce, which most of us all, your work is holy to God. Now, let me get you to a scripture this morning, Colossians chapter 3. And this is the section of scripture that really our message and our story is built on today, because this really talks about God's spirit and God's heart of our work and how he views it. Here we go. I'll read this for you. Whatever you do. Now, this section of scripture is talking about all of our relationships. In my Bible, chapter 3 says, rules for holy living. So God sets out through the writers here to talk to us about what it means to demonstrate Christ and holy living through every aspect of our life. And he starts describing what that ought to look like. Well, then he gets to relationships. And he says, rules for Christian households. He understands that that's where real living happens, right? That's the real person that we see is in the household, those closest relationships. So he begins to talk about wives and husbands and children and fathers and how you should relate to each other. That's what that section of scripture is all about. And then he goes from that to another relationship, which is our work relationship. Now, you need to understand in the scripture when this was written that many of the households had workers that lived in their home, and it says in my translation, slaves. Now, when we talk about that, we don't mean slaves in our cultural context, of course. That is the word that means employees. So for the sake of our reading and understanding today, let's take that word and say employees and employers, all right? So let's read this together, starting in verse 22. Employees, obey your earthly master or your earthly boss in everything that you do, not only when their eye is on you, just to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for who, the boss? No, reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, anything that you do, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working not for your boss, but for the Lord. Not just for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid what for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. And then he has a word for bosses. He says, bosses, provide your slaves, your employees, with what is right and fair, because you know also you have a master in heaven. You see, Jesus is kind of putting us all on the same level there. Our relationships are all about ultimately serving Jesus Christ and taking the attitude of our work and understanding that it's holy to God because of the way we approach it. How we work, how we look at that relationship, who we work for, do we hide and do something different when we're not being watched? That's what God is talking about here. Now, one thing that we need to understand is as we read this scripture and we see others, we do understand that God takes seriously the time that we put into work and how we go about that. But God never intended, this is a person-created idea. God never made the distinction between secular and sacred, or the church and the culture. Do you realize that? There is nothing in the Word of God that talks about this separate world. It all is meant to be together. And that's why when we talk about the discipleship or following God is not a destination, it is a journey. It's because it is always with us. And you know, when I was thinking about this week, there was a question that came to mind. Sometimes when we have this idea of the separation of church and our world, or secular and sacred, we understand that we kind of come here and we encounter God, and we encounter others that know God, and then when we leave this place to go to lunch, and then we go to work tomorrow, or go to school or whatever, what happens to God? Do you ever think about that? What's God doing during that whole time? Now, you know, I think that there are some people in this, they wouldn't really say it necessarily, but they think God sleeps here. They think that when we leave, God stays right here. Maybe he bunks up in the balcony one day and he's over there. You know, I'm just being facetious. But we think that we forget that God goes with us. As a matter of fact, he doesn't just go with you, he goes ahead of you. And I want you to think of the holiness of your workplace, because God is already there. There are people there in that situation where you work, and God is waiting for you to get there to school or to the place where you work, because God already is doing something in the life of people around, and he is looking for people like you and me who are willing to be God in that area so that they can be drawn to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? He's already there. Wherever you're going tomorrow morning, at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whenever that starts for you, I want you to think when you get in your car or you arrive at work tomorrow, God is already here. Where is he? What is he doing? He wants me to be a part of that. Well, how is our work holy? I say in that first phrase, our work is holy to God. How is it holy? It's because God's intent is for your work to accomplish something according to his purpose. That's what that word kodesh means in the Bible that talks about holy. It means taking something that is a group of a lot of things that are all the same and taking something out of it and dedicating it for a special purpose, a purpose only given to what God wants it to accomplish, fulfilling his will and his purpose. So God takes you out of the ordinary culture, out of the mix of everyone else, and he takes you and he wants to place his spirit on you and in you and put you in that place where people can watch your life, and he wants you to have a holy purpose. That means fulfilling God's purpose and call in that place where you're going. He has set his spirit in you. He has put his hand on you and on me to make a difference in culture. Number two, God sees our work as worship. God not only sees that our work is holy, it's not only holy to God, but he also sees it as worship. Now let me tell you why I say that. There's a word in the scripture, if you look at the root words behind this, that means, or that says, it's called avodah. Would you say that with me? Avodah. You know what avodah means? It means the combination of work and worship. The root word of both of those in the Word of God, work and worship, is the same. It's avodah. So when God talks about our work being a part of worship, in his mind, they're not separated. They are all the same thing. Now, I didn't give you these scriptures, but let me just give you an example of this. Psalms 104 says this, "Then my people go out to their work, to their labor until evening." That is avodah. They go work with their hands. They are craftsmen. They do a good job. But here's another scripture, Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. This is the conversation between God and Moses. He says, "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, this is God's message, release my people so they can worship me. Release my people so they can avodah me." You see, the scripture is the same. Work and worship is the same. God sees that our worship to him, giving of the best of what we have, just like we would provide an offering in a time of worship and service, your work, your place of work, how you treat those around you, if you're a student, the way you go about those relationships, that is to be holy and it is to be worship to God. Now, that's a different concept than probably most people understand today, but that is according to Scripture. As a matter of fact, in a book that I was reading called Breaking the Missional Code, it's talking about how you and I are called. We have an identity as we go into the culture from this place today. There's two phrases I really kind of like in that. One is called a missional believer. That means you're a believer and a follower in Jesus Christ, but you are on a mission. You have been given a task. You have been given a specific responsibility to go into that place and not just be there like everyone else, but you are there holy. You're separated. You're there to accomplish God's purpose, and God is counting on you. You are a missional believer. Here's the second one. You are a cultural missionary. Now, I don't know if any of you have been a part of mission service, or maybe your parents or grandparents were missionaries, but you are a cultural missionary. That's what God is challenging you to do, and let me tell you what that means. When you're a missionary, you don't go into a new culture that is different than your culture. You don't understand the customs. You don't understand the language sometimes. You don't understand the dress and all they do. You don't just walk right in there and say, okay, I'm here to save the day. I've got the word of God. Now listen to me, do you? Would that work very well? Probably not. Most people understand missions. You go into a culture that is different than yours, and you spend, and you're willing to spend a long period of time just building relationships, listening to people, watching the culture, joining in what they do, understanding that you become a part of their culture, so that at some point there's a relationship built and there's an opportunity for you to begin to talk about why you're different, to talk about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but you wait for doors to open. Does that make sense? That's a cultural missionary, and that's the way God asks you and I to do. We don't go into that workplace or into that school or into our neighborhood and confront people and embarrass them and make them push back. No, we love them and we serve them and we look for opportunities to build relationships, and we're very patient with the Holy Spirit because it's God, the Holy Spirit, that is opening up that door. But when you live a life of integrity in front of those people, that's when God gives you an opportunity to be that voice for Him. So God sees our work as what? As worship. So when you come in here on a Sunday morning and you come in here to what we call worship, it is not only about singing songs and listening to a message. It is about asking God, Lord, what are you trying to say to me that prepares me to go out and be this cultural missionary? Maybe one of the things you need to do when you're here is to say, God, who is it that you are opening up a door for me in my neighborhood, a friendship, in my place of work, where I go to school? And maybe you spend time here praying for that person, praying for an open door, praying for understanding and a spirit that would be a bridge-building relationship between that person that changes the way we come together and worship. Well, I don't know about you, but when I hear that concept, I feel a little bit uneasy at times. It's like, whoa, God, you are really asking me to do something that is necessarily not my nature. I'm not sure I'm equipped for that. I'm not sure I'm really ready for that. I'm a little fearful of that. Well, I want to refer you back to a place in Scripture when Jesus was experiencing the very same thing with his followers. John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. This is the time of Scripture just after the resurrection, just after the crucifixion had happened. And where were the believers? The believers were huddled away in a small room. They were scared to death. Why were they scared? Because they thought they were next. They had seen what happened to Jesus Christ. They had killed him, and now they were looking for other followers of Jesus Christ, and they were saying, we don't want to be a part of that. We are fearful. And so they were hiding in a room. And John chapter 20 says that when Jesus came through the walls of that room and appeared to all them, he said this, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Why did God say that? He said that because he knew that personally they were afraid. They were afraid of going out into that culture. They were afraid of getting killed or hurt or embarrassed. Does that sound a little bit like us today? It does, doesn't it? And so what Jesus wants to do is say, peace be with you. Part of that is calming our fears, saying, I will speak for you. I will speak through you. Don't feel like you have to do all this on your own. He wants to give you peace. But there was a second reason that he said, peace be with you. Because if you read that scripture, after Jesus says that for the second time, peace be with you, he says, I send you out into this world in the same way that the Father has sent me. So what he's saying is, I have given you peace now. I give you something that this world can't give. And now your responsibility is to go out into that culture without fear and share that peace. You see, there's all kinds of people that you work with. There's all kinds of people you go to school with and neighbors that are not experiencing the peace of God. They're experiencing fear. And God wants you to be that person who helps them to see something different. They may not know why you're different, but as you get to talk with them and you share things with them, they understand it is something different, and you can share Christ with them at that point. He's saying to you, here is my peace. I want you to take this to work, and I want you to give this to people there. Isn't that great? You see, you don't have to be that person that you feel like is gifted with evangelism and the person that has to walk in and start a Bible study. That may not be you, and I want to take the pressure off of you today and me as well. Many of us are not gifted in evangelism like that. Some are. Most of us, though, need to simply live our life in front of people and let the Spirit of God speak through us and allow the doors to open. I want to tell you one last scripture, and then we'll go. Last point, number three, is a primary mission of the church is the church at work. Our mission, part of the mission of our church of DFC is you leaving this place, going to 600 to 700 different places of ministry and work, and being the Spirit of Christ, being a representation of Jesus Christ. In Thessalonians, we read about a group of people in the very beginning part of the new church that understood this. They understood that they were taking the Spirit of God, the truth of Scripture, and what God had done through them, and they were taking it back to their normal, everyday life workplace. As a matter of fact, I want to read one scripture to you, and that is in 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 4, verse 11. He says this, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands." Now, that doesn't mean stop being obnoxious. That's not what that means. It means I want you to understand what your purpose is. Not to have to make a bunch of noise, not about to have to force something. So read it that way. "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, but to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may do what? May win the respect of outsiders, so that then you will not be dependent on anybody, and they will see the Spirit of Christ within you." You see the difference there? Christ is saying, you don't have to feel like you got to knock a door down. I want you to live ordinary lives. Be a good worker. Have a life of integrity, but I want you to take the Spirit of God with you, because as you just do your normal, everyday life, as you make good decisions, as you show integrity in decisions that are made, people will see Christ through that. So the question you may ask yourself is, well, is anybody actually doing that today? Well, I'm glad to say, yes, they are. We have a lot of stories in this community of faith of how God is using you to impact people in your workplace. I just want to tell you about one of those this morning. His name's Tim Snowbarger. He's one of our young guys. He's actually single again. He's divorced. He's a great young guy, and I'll tell you what, he has a great desire. A great desire for people to know about Jesus Christ through his life. This is a picture of him with his family. That's Gage and Cooper and Kenzie. He tells the story about his work life. You see, he has two different jobs. He helps get young people engaged in service and ministry in other parts of the country. That's part of what Tim does. But he also works at DIA. That's a change from his past, and for a while he didn't have any idea why God had put him at DIA to work in that area. It seemed so different than the culture that he had ever worked in before. And yet he felt like there was a purpose, that God wanted to fulfill something through his life, and so he just lived life in front of his coworkers. Something happened, though, and this is kind of the way it happens. You know, he helped in the lacrosse team. Both of his boys play lacrosse, and for 5 years, he's been helping as the president of the lacrosse team, and the coach told him one day about his dad that was going in for a little bit of a heart checkup and some things like that. Well, they got in there, and it was more serious than they thought. So Tim's friend, this coach, called and said, "You know what, we're here at the hospital, and we found out it's not just the heart. They were able to find in dad a lot of cancer. It's not a good thing. We don't know really what to do." And so as the story goes, Tim said he thought the call was just to kind of catch up on lacrosse. And what it was actually was his wife, the coach's wife, was calling Tim to say, "You know what? We're on our way to the hospital. We're on our way to some bad news, and we don't really have a pastor. You're the closest to a pastor that we've got. And we just wanted to know if you would be able to come and pray with us, because we're kind of walking through this thing alone, really don't know what to do." Well, you know, weeks and months went by, and Tim has just stayed with that family. He has just been a friend to them and been an encouragement and prayed with them at the hospital. And the dad actually did pass away just a couple of weeks ago. And he has been able to build bridges of faith with that family from DIA and from the lacrosse team that has nothing to do with them coming to a worship service here. It's because somebody decided that they wanted to be intentional about the call of God in their life and wherever God was placing them, at DIA, working with bags and airplanes and customers that were traveling. That he wanted to let somebody see something different in his life, and by living that way, the doors opened for an opportunity for them to know Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you today, that's the way God works. That's why God says your work is holy. That's why God says you have a call to wherever you are. Even if you think it's temporary, God has a purpose and a plan for you to fulfill in that place. And that purpose and that plan is to love people there. To give them the idea and the understanding that you are a person of godly integrity and godly lifestyle. And at some point, a conversation around the water cooler, or there may be an opportunity to have coffee or lunch, and there may just be a question that comes out of the blue to you, and you understand God's been working on that person. Here's my chance. You know, most people come to Christ that way. Most people come to Christ because of the witness of a friend. And the invitation of a friend. And my question for you today is just simply this. Do you want God to use you as an effective marketplace witness? I mean, really, that's what you have to answer. That's what I have to answer. Do you have a passion enough and a love for God enough that you want Him to set you aside for some kind of special purpose in that place where you go every day? And I can guarantee you that if you begin to pray that way, and if you begin to ask God to give you the opportunities and the open doors, it will happen. And can I reassure you about the fact that it doesn't matter what you say? You don't have to have all the perfect words. You don't have to have a seminary education. You just need to help people to know that they don't have to have fear in this life, and God can save their sins. Well, I just want you to think about that this morning as we close. You know, because I don't know who comes to your mind or what God is talking to you about today. Maybe there's places of compromise in your life. Maybe God has reminded you that, you know what, you're kind of like one of those people in that survey. You've kind of lived in that gray area for a while. There's some things that you've been party to, and you've got to change that. I need you to be a person of complete 100% honesty and integrity, and I need you to bring that to me today, and I need you to say, God, forgive me and help me to be the witness that you need to be in that place. Maybe that's your story. And maybe for you, it's about fear. Maybe for you, you don't feel confident enough in your relationship with Christ, or you don't have enough answers, or maybe your life just is not strong enough, you think, to be a witness for God. And Jesus Christ says to you, no. That is the voice of the enemy, because people want to see somebody just ordinary, just like you, who lives for Jesus Christ, and they want to be like you. Would you allow God to use you in that way? Maybe there's somebody, as you think back now, they have opened some doors for you. They have asked you some questions. You've seen something in their life. Maybe they've gone through some tragedy or some difficulty. That's a common time when people reach out to God, is when they go through tragedy and difficulty. And maybe God has placed you at this point right now for that purpose. And maybe what you need to do is just give that to God and say, Lord, if you'll give me the ability and give me the opportunity, I will speak for you. And I'll love those people through serving them. See, that's really where it starts. It's serving people through love. That's what draws them to Jesus Christ, not forcing something on them, but loving them and serving them and recognizing. And so as we finish this service this morning, I just simply ask you, you know, if that's the passion of your heart, if you want to be a place of influence for Jesus Christ in your workplace, I can tell you this for sure. According to the Word of God, He is preparing in advance good things for you to do there, at your school, at your place of work. I don't want you to miss it, and I don't want to miss it. That's one of the reasons I encourage our staff, and myself included in this church, that one of our greatest responsibilities is to be involved in the community with people that are not in this place, because we need to rub shoulders with folks that don't know Jesus Christ, and we can become so insulated in this Christian community that we have missed the mission of Jesus Christ for us. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure we're out in the culture as well, every opportunity that we can. So as we pray today, I don't know what God is calling you to. Maybe you want to step out and come forward and pray and ask God to help you to be a boss or an employee of a godly character. Maybe you know somebody in particular that God is calling you to reach out to and serve because you see some things happening in their life. Maybe you just want to be more sensitive to this. You know, I'll be honest with you, you don't even have to step out and come to the altar if you don't want to. God's right there where you are. Remember, He is everywhere. But you know what? Whatever your response today, I pray that you'll make a commitment of some kind to Jesus Christ, because the mission is great. And the Word of God says they are ready. The field is white and ready for harvest. There are people wanting to know about Jesus Christ. Could we just make an intentional purpose that we're going to go out and be that in our mission, in our culture? Would you stand with me this morning? Serving God at work. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. If you'd like to step forward while Linda's playing and you want to just come and spend a few minutes before you leave and pray, that is perfectly fine. Nobody's going to gather around you or ask us specific questions, but I just want us to pray together today. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the faithfulness of your word. We're thankful that the heart of God, your heart, comes through the scripture. There's nothing you care more about than those people that are in our classes, in our places of work, our friendships that don't know Jesus Christ, and they're really operating out of fear. You've come to our life, and you've said, fear not. Now you give us fear. You give us the ability to live without fear, but you want us to pass it on. I don't know where we go tomorrow, but at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, God, you're going to find us all in a different place. Somehow, would your Holy Spirit remind us we are there for your purpose. You have a plan for our life. And just to be a person of integrity and allow you to speak through us, God, and when you open a door, we commit to you that we will speak for Christ and be a witness for you. God, now we're leaving and going out into our mission field. This is not our mission field, but that is out there. Lunch today with the people that serve us, the neighbors in our neighborhood that we talk to when we go home tonight, the people we'll encounter at work tomorrow, maybe even the ones that we stop and get coffee on the way in. Well, I don't know, God, what you want to do, but I know that you have plans to draw those people to you through the way we treat them, how we serve them, how we love them. Would you make every one of us a cultural missionary for you? And we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.